Well, hey, if I haven't had a chance to meet you, my name's Adam, and I'm the lead pastor of this church. And man, it's been almost 3 years since we planted Active Church. Can you believe that? 3 years, and we've seen this church just make an impact. It's not off the talents of a few. It's off the sacrifices of many that we get to be a part of a church movement like this here in the Central Coast. And I'm just really pumped. I'm excited for what God's doing here, and we're pumped. But hey, before you get started, you should have seen a card on your seat. It looks like, it's a little white one. Someone hold it up. Let me know you guys. Let me see. Yeah, there you go. Okay, cool. That is a life group card. And what that is what we believe in at Active Church is that Sundays are awesome. Like, I love Sundays. I love worshiping, like, Waymaker. I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. But for like, literally like an hour on a Sunday, if that's as much God as you're getting, if that's as much community as you're getting, you are going to be anemic as a believer. And so we just think that life change happens in the context of circles. Rows are good. Everyone look at your row. Say, this looks pretty good. We're in a row. So I like this row. Circles are better. So what does that mean? Life change starts in a row. For most people, 95% of people make a decision to begin a relationship with Jesus in a row at a church, okay? This is the stats. But it shouldn't just stay there. It should go to community, real authentic community in a circle. So here's what I want you to do. All I'm asking is that you would pray about it and consider checking us out and being a leader. Just saying, I'm going to lead a life group. It's a small group of people. You'll meet once a week on Zoom or maybe in person in a coffee shop at your home if you feel comfortable. And we're going to help you make a difference. We're going to help you. We're going to make it really easy on you. Some of you are like, I can't lead. I'm not a Bible theologian. It's okay if you can facilitate a conversation and talk and ask some questions. You can be a life group leader and you will be making a difference. So go ahead and scan that card. It'll pop up. It'll send you to like a little link and you can have a form you fill out and someone from our team will connect with you. It's going to be awesome. Everyone say awesome. All right. Keep breathing on this thing. Okay. I'm like, how do I not breathe? How do I talk and not breathe out of my nose? These are things they don't teach you. All right. Hey, one more thing I'm really pumped about. We are opening a coffee shop. Active Coffee Co. launches in a couple weeks. And it's going to be so good. I can't wait for this next season of ministry. It's going to be our headquarters for our offices. It's also going to be an amazing coffee shop. We're going to be serving Cova Coffee from Portland, Oregon. And we're brewing some really good coffee. It's going to be awesome. Open to the public. There's going to be a co-working space next door. And then our office is upstairs. So it's in the creamery. So make sure you mark your calendars. We're looking at, fingers crossed, praying September 18th as our launch day, as our grand opening. We got to get the final approval from the health officials. So if you know somebody down at the health department, just hook a brother up, okay? But we're praying. We should be all good. So excited for that. But I'm going to go ahead and pray real quick. I want to read to you guys out of Joshua, and then we'll go ahead and pray. This is what the word of God says to Joshua. Moses dies. Moses is the leader of Israel. He's brought the people out of captivity, and now he's dead. And Joshua's taken the helm. And here's what the Lord says to Joshua. Joshua 1:9. He says, Have I not commanded you? In other words, God's like, this is what I need you to do. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. For some of you, you can go home now. You're like, that's the word I needed. Don't be afraid. I've been afraid. I'm like, am I gonna get the Rona? Am I gonna, if I wear a Trump hat, am I gonna get beat up? If I wear a BLM hat, am I gonna get beat up? Like, you're like, some of you guys are like, I'm afraid to say this or not say this. Some of you guys have been so afraid of culture. Let me tell you something. You don't serve man, you serve God. So just do what God tells you to do, okay? Can we be like that church? Like, we're gonna do what God tells us to do. So you be you, and I'll be me, and we're going to see God use us all. God wants you to not be afraid, and watch this. Don't be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go, Joshua. And the same thing he wants to speak to us today as we begin a brand new series called Stronger. Stronger. We're going to get stronger together as a church and as a community over the next 4 weeks. It's going to be a four-week sermon series. Don't miss a week. And the week number four is going to be the best one. So you don't want to miss the last Sunday of the month. Let me pray for you and we'll jump right in. Father God, we thank you so much for today. I thank you, Lord, for this awesome opportunity to be here at Avila. I thank you, God, that there's There's no one like you. You are the way maker. And God, you want to strengthen your church today. So Father, would you just use the next 27 minutes, God, to breathe on our lives. Lord, that you would be magnified in everything that we do this week. And Lord, help us to catch a fresh vision of strength for our lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, so how many of you guys want to be stronger? Raise your hand. Okay, the rest of you guys are like super content. I get it. It's cool. Yeah, I think I need the other one. Thanks, brother. I've always wanted to be stronger.
How's me?
Is this thing on? Okay, cool. All right, so there we go. I normally use the mic. And this time I was like, I'm going to do the hands-free thing. I just can't do it. I'm not that cool. I remember when I was in high school, I was like a late bloomer growing up. How many guys, any late bloomers in the house this afternoon? You're like, what's up? Okay, you know the struggle. You kind of like, everyone else is like 13, 14, and they're like getting facial hair, you know, like that 14-year-old mustache kid. He kind of looks like a creeper stash. And I was like 13, 14, and I was like, hey, guys. And I remember like starting high school, I was younger than everyone in my class. And I started school at age 4. So kindergarten, I guess I could do my ABCs. My mom was, I'm a November birthday. So my mom was like, get him in there. And she was probably excited to get rid of me for 6 hours. So I love you, Mom. And so I was just younger than everybody. Like growing into high school, I was 13 years old and I was a late bloomer. And I just always felt like I was small. I was smaller than everybody. And then everyone started working out. Remember that, like that season of high school, everyone starts going to the gym and you're like, I guess I have to do this. This is a thing. And I'll never forget getting a gym membership at 24 Hour Fitness in Bakersfield, California. It was the brand new gym. I'm like, Mom, please, please, please. My buddy Chris was already going. He was kind of getting buff. And I'm like, I want to get buff. I was 100 and nothing pounds, 5 foot nothing. And I decided to go to the gym to get stronger. And because that's what you do. And I'll never forget the first time going underneath a bench press. And that's intimidating for anybody. But when you're like 14 years old and you can't put up, I couldn't even put up the bar. My buddy Chris was like throwing some 25s. I'm like, dude, that's as much as I weigh. I weigh 95 pounds. He's like, you got this, bro. And I'll never forget. I took it off the thing and I put it on my chest. And right then my buddy Chris decided to go say hi to his buddy. And I was like, I'm going to die. And I did what only I could do. I rolled it onto my stomach. And then I said, this doesn't feel good. So I ended up dumping the weights onto the gym floor. And everyone looked at me. And what does your best friend do when you do something embarrassing? They laugh at you. Chris, I love you, bro. I'll never forget that. Because I wanted to get stronger. I wanted to be like everybody else. I wanted some gains. And maybe you're here today, and listen, we all want gains in some area of our life. Maybe you're here today and you need gains in the area of your faith. You want stronger faith. God knows we need stronger faith in this season. Maybe you're here and your kids are acting crazy and they're driving you crazy. You're like, I need strength. I need more patience. I need more endurance. I need long suffering, God. Maybe you're here today and you are financially strapped. You're like, oh God, I need stronger finances. I need better habits spending wise. I need strength. I want to help us not just look at those monetary things or those physical things as strength. I want us to look at today a vision for your life in the local church. Here's why. I believe when you're stronger as a believer, the church is stronger, your family is stronger, your kids are stronger, your community is stronger. When you get stronger, the church gets stronger. Why? Because we're the church. Remember that? Like, we don't need a building to be the church. You are the church. That's what the Bible says. So when you're stronger, the church gets stronger. And I want to cast a vision today for strength for the local church. You guys with me? All right. I asked some of my friends on social media this week. I said, hey, tell me what one area you want to get stronger. Here's some of the things they said. Self-control. How many of you guys need some self-control? Stronger love for God. That was good. Stronger self-confidence. One person said, strength for more discipline. That's true. Strength to be more consistent, strength to trust God. strength for a season of waiting, because they need patience. A stronger mind to tolerate mean people. You need to love mean people. One of my buddies said stronger friendships. You know, I talked to a lot of guys that are like in their late 20s, early 30s, and all those bros that used to hang out with in high school and college, everyone kind of goes their own way. And I've talked to a lot of guys, even my own age, I'm 36, they're just kind of lonely. You got like your wife and your kids, and then all of a sudden it's like, but where are my guys at? That's why we're going to be starting a men's ministry. We're going to be meeting monthly and doing men's breakfasts, because I just think guys need to get together. And this, I think this is the season that men need to stand up in the church. They need to lead in the church, lead in their homes. Ladies, you're already leading. You guys are bosses. But the guys, come on, where are my guys at? I don't believe you. Where are my guys at? All right, we need to stand up. We need to be the men that God wants us to be. So we need some stronger relationships. So we all have some goals if we're honest. But what if I told you that being stronger for the sake of strength isn't the point? What if lasting strength, real strength, has a true purpose, a God-given purpose for your life? I think we're going to discover what that is over the next few weeks. So how do we get stronger? And better yet, why should we even want to get stronger? Open your Bibles if you have it. Proverbs 29:18. You can flip there in your iPhone, your smartphone, your leather Bible. How many of you guys got a real leather Bible? Where's that? Wave it in the air like you just don't care. Come on. All right, that's right. Your shirt says sanctified too. I like that, bro. Check out Proverbs 29:18. I'm going to read to you in three versions. King James Version first. Here's what the book of Proverbs says, 29:18. Where there is no vision. Vision meaning revelation. The word is hazon in the Hebrew. My buddy Jim has like a tattoo on his arm that says Yahweh, and the other one says hazon, vision, God's vision. Where there is no revelation, where there is no dream for your life, where there is no clear purpose for your life, the people perish. Perish means die. Did you know that, like, when you don't have a clear purpose for your life, you're no longer strong anymore. When you're running with no intended purpose, there's no strength to discipline your body to do what God's called you to do. Why? Because when there's no purpose, the Bible literally says dreams perish. Another version says it like this. NIV says this: where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. In other words, when you have a clear vision for your life, like when you know the man you want to be, the woman you want to be, when you know the marriage you want to build, the family you want to raise, the business you want to invest in, the employees you want to train and hire, when you have a clear picture of that, there's restraint. You know who to hire, who to fire. You know who to invest in, who to hang out with, which DMs to answer, which DMs not to answer. Come on. All the 18-year-olds are like, I don't know what you're talking about. Their mom's looking at them. Where there's no revelation, people cast off restraint. In other words, strength doesn't just come from being strong. Strength comes from having a clear idea of what God wants for your life. I love what Proverbs says. I love what the Message version says. This is not a translation, by the way. This is Eugene Peterson's version, so you can email me later, but I just think it does a really good job of articulating in a commentary way. Here's what he says, Pastor Eugene Peterson's Message version. He goes, if people can't see what God is doing, in other words, they're blinded, they stumble all over themselves. Anyone stumble during Corona? You've made some stumbling decisions. You're like, man, I have not been on my A game. Just me. Okay. But when, watch this, but when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. When you go and say, God, what do you want for my life? This is very important. There's something at stake here. You need to lean in. You and I both need to lean in. When there's no fresh revelation, no goal, there's no one helping you stay the course, and there's constant indecision, one way you can kind of figure out if you're not really following a clear purpose, if you don't know how to make a decision, you're constantly going, I don't know. Constant indecision. When you're here, God's word says that people, when we operate in this way, we don't get results. Quite the opposite. When we do this, things perish, dreams perish. That business idea, that dream for your relationship, that dream for a future spouse, saving yourself for marriage, guys, girls, all these things begin to diminish when we don't have a fresh revelation of who God is and what he wants for our lives. That's why being at church is such a good reminder. You know, you can go and watch a sermon online, but you know what church is? It's relationship. Because I can go and talk to someone, and I can talk to my buddy Daniel and be like, dude, I'm praying for you. How you been, man? And I could talk to someone else and be like, dude, what's new in your life? And they're going to go, man, I'm telling you, here's what God's doing in my marriage. I'm like, what? That's awesome. Yeah, I want some of that. See, you don't need, it's not about what you need from church. Maybe there's something you need to bring to church. Maybe there's an attitude, a relationship that you're supposed to forge here that's going to go and help you Monday through Friday. Am I speaking to you guys this morning or this afternoon? So good news, we're going to look at for the next couple minutes how to get stronger in the area of the vision that God has for your life. So, in light of what you want to create, I don't know what you're going for, but there needs to be something that says in you every day, in light of who I want to be a year from now, what is God going to have me say no to today, something that might be real easy to get, and say yes to for tomorrow? There's something in you that needs to say, I know this would be easier right now, but if I were to trace this out, is that really who I want to be? And let me tell you something, the clearer the vision that God has for you, the easier it is to say no to the things that actually oppose the person that God wants you to be. It's easy to go like, when you know you're studying, you know, you're studying to be a physician, you don't have to wonder like, am I going to be an astronaut too? Like, no, I'm going to take medical classes. Why? Because decisions get easier and fewer as you get a clearer vision. So vision is the fuel to godly wisdom. Check out what the psalmist says. You will show me the way of life, a full life, a blessed life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. One of the things that kind of bumps me out as a pastor is watching people settle for less. Like, I don't have it all together. I'm far from it. I'm not perfect. I'm far from it. Just ask my wife. But like, it bums me out when I'm like, dude, God has so much more for your life. And so oftentimes people just settle like, yeah, I got salvation. I'm going to heaven. Got my ticket. And they just kind of sit on the bench waiting for the bus to come pick them up. I'm like, no. God gave you everything. Your gift was free. He gave you Jesus. You didn't do anything to earn that. Just read Ephesians 2:8. Salvation is not by works, but by God alone. It's by grace you've been saved through faith so that no one can boast. It's a gift. But what you do with your life is your gift back to God. And so oftentimes I want to help you. I really want to plant it at church. Like when we planted this church, I'm like, I want people to have everything God wants for their life. I want them to have big faith. I want them to believe for everything that God has for life. And here's the reality. God has promises for your life. But here's the reality. Some of us have let those dreams be stolen. We're weaker in areas that we should be stronger because the enemy has come in and told you, you're not good enough to do that. You don't have enough money to start that business. You could never serve in ministry. Look at what you've done. You know what those are? Lies. Here's what the Bible says. Jesus himself said the thief comes only to kill and destroy. But I have come so that they may have life and life to the full. God wants you to have a full life. So where does this strength come from? From a personal, intimate, passionate walk with Jesus. Here's the vision of our church. I want to help you catch a vision for your life. This has been, so the last 3 years, we've been saying this over and over and over and over. And every time I say it, I'm like, I've said this enough. And every once in a while, I'll ask someone on our team, hey, do you know the vision for our church? They're like, love God, no people. I'm like, okay, I got more in the tank then. These are the building blocks for your life. These are also the vision for our church. So here's what it is. The first thing I want you to understand as a person anybody that understands that, man, maybe God has something for me. Here's number one. We want you to know God. If you want to build a strong life, the first place to land is to know God. Not just know about him up here, but to know him here every single day. That means you talk to God. How did you get to know your spouse before you married him? You're like, what's up, girl? Let me holler at you. No, hopefully you didn't say that. Actually, don't talk like that. Stacy would have never dated me. But you got to know God personally. It means to know him intimately. Everybody wants to know God. I know atheists that want to know God. They just don't see the evidence to believe in him. You are designed to know God. Your heart has been hardwired to know God. It's your spirit man, your spirit woman. You have been hardwired by God to know him more and more. 1 Timothy says this, 6:21. Some of these people, he says, have missed the most important thing in life. They don't know God. For some of you today, you just need to get to know God. That's your mandate from God, just to get to know him through a relationship with Jesus. The second part of the vision for a stronger you and a stronger church is this. We need to help people find freedom. You're like, wait a minute, I'm free. I'm good. No. Freedom from your past. Freedom from the shame, the regrets, those secrets, the things that you still do that you're like, oh, I wish I could just get rid of this thing that keeps tackling me when no one's watching. Because if I could just get rid of this behavior, man, then I could really be happy. Then I could really walk in the way that God wants me to walk. But it keeps creeping back in. Let me tell you something. There is strength available for you, and you can't have freedom until you know God. And once you have freedom, then you can move on to the third thing, which is this. You can discover purpose. The two greatest days of your life, Mark Twain once said, was the day you were born and the day you figure out why you were born. That your purpose is all about you discovering, why on earth am I here? What did God put me on this earth for? And if you don't know your purpose, church, here's why. You probably haven't dealt with your past. I'm just being real. Until I deal with the past mistakes, until I actually look at that thing and go, man, that was messed up. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe they did that to me. Until you forgive yourself and you forgive whoever hurt you back then, you're never going to have peace and purpose in this next season. I'm telling you, I'm preaching better than you guys are reacting. I'm telling you, this is true. Got to teach you guys how to talk back again. We've been in quarantine. We're like, I just look at my iPhone all day. That's me. You gotta wipe the smudge off of your lenses so you can see. And until you deal with that smudge, you're never gonna see clearly who God is and how he wants to use your life. You're always gonna be living in the regret of yesterday when God says, man, there's a reason why your car has a huge windshield and a little rearview mirror. You need to look back and go, yep, that's where I was, but man, thank God that's where I'm going. Can I get an amen? That's what God wants you to know today. He wants you to have a stronger perspective, and he wants you to have freedom, and he wants you to know your purpose. If you are here today and you're like, I don't know, I want to get connected, I want to help out, I want to serve, I'm here to tell you we have a thing called Growth Track. It's super easy. Give me 3 Sundays. Actually, give me 3 weeks. We do it on Monday nights now on Zoom. Give me 3 one-hour calls, and we're going to help you take a next step into your purpose. Does it end there? By no means. Is Growth Track the end-all, be-all? Not at all. But it's our front door to ministry here at Active Church. It's our front door to help you connect to God and everything he has for your life. God wants you to grow. We want to help you grow. So talk to someone at Connect. We'll get you signed up for Growth Track. It's going to be awesome. And the last thing is this. Once you know your purpose, you can begin to make a difference. You realize you have a purpose on this earth. It's not just to make a bunch of money and go golfing, even though I got my Cypress Ridge hat on and I'll go golfing with you. It's not just to have a great family or to see the world, which is all great. I love travel. I love my family. But you have a God-given purpose. And so oftentimes, I think we get real Christian. I hate this. I don't like this. I shouldn't say hate. I don't like Christians that do this. You know, I just want to go deeper. I'm like, okay, what do you mean? And they'll usually tell me like why they're leaving the church. Just not deep enough. I'm like, you're so deep that you need a person to stand on a stage with a microphone and tell you about God. that you need someone to feed you. That's what you're telling me. I go, the only people I know that whine because they're not getting fed are babies. Oh, I'm going to step off. I'm going to step off real quick. We just need to go deeper, man. I want to go deeper. I talked to pastors that say, you know, we're not into growth. We're not into the numbers. I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. They're like, yeah, we just want to go longer services. We want to go deeper, more spiritual worship. It's going to be awesome, man. I'm like, that's awesome for you. I feel terrible for the city you're trying to reach because some people are going to hell because you're not doing your job as a pastor, which we're called and ordained and commanded by Jesus to go into the world. We don't exist. Okay, we do not exist for us, church. We don't exist. We, as long as heaven and hell are real, growth is not an option. The Bible says go, therefore. So at Active Church, we're going to go and make disciples. Amen? That's our job. That's our command. I don't really get on soapboxes very often, but that's one of them. And I love people, man. I love people so much. But everything we do as a church has a natural tendency to focus inward. And I love you. I love that you're here. I love that you're raising your hands in worship. I love that you're leaning in right now. But can I tell you something? There's some empty chairs right here. We don't exist for us that are already saved. We exist for the people that are not yet here. Jesus said, a good shepherd leaves the 99 and he goes after the one. See, when you start living on mission to go find the one, all of a sudden your vision is clear. You're like, man, heaven and hell is real and my life is supposed to be a vehicle to go after the one. The night before Jesus was crucified, here's what he said. He's in the garden and here's what he's talking to God. He says this, in the same way, John 17, in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. In other words, he's saying, my mission, I'm about to go to the cross. I'm almost done with my mission. I'm about to be crucified for the sins of the world. God gave a great price to you and I through his son Jesus. Now here's what we got to do. We get to take on the mission and take the mantle and keep going. Aren't you glad that somebody kept going for you? Aren't you glad that they planted a church in somewhere and your grandma went there and she got saved when she was 15 years old and she's been praying for you every single day and she calls you, or maybe she's in heaven, but you had someone in your life that was praying for your salvation and you're here today because someone else said, I'll do it. I'll take on the mission. I'll keep going. All right. I'm getting you guys pumped up. I hope we're tracking here. Strength comes from vision. Vision leads to mission. Now, after Jesus died and he resurrected, here's what happened. Jesus went to the cross. He died. He was born. He raised again on the third day. And he spent, the Bible tells us, 40 days on earth in a glorified state. Isn't that cool? He's just popping through walls like, hey, I'm Jesus. Like, he can teleport. Like we don't really talk about that much. Like, that's amazing. Jesus can teleport. And he spent 40 days. He ate with people. He hung out with people. And then the last thing he said, church, he's like, hey, I want to leave you guys stronger than I found you. So here's what he does. He goes, hey, guys, I'm taking off. I'll see you guys soon. But he says this, Acts 1:8, he goes, you're going to be my witnesses. Everyone say witness. Can I get a witness? You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In other words, there is a plan I have for you, and it doesn't stop with you. That you're going to go here in Jerusalem, that's all of us. Then you're going to go to Judea, Samaria, that's all of them. And then you're going to go take this whole thing to the rest of the world, and I'm going to be with you every step of the way. And here's what he says. Mark 5, he goes, he basically says this. I want you to go home, he tells his disciples, to your family and friends, and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on your life. The first thing, if you want to make a difference and you want to get stronger as a follower of Jesus, or you just want to get stronger, you've been a follower of Jesus for a long time, you're like, man, I'm good. This is a reminder for you. Number one, you're called to make a difference in your world. Some of you have family members that you stopped praying for a long time ago. You gave up hope. You're like, they're gone. And now you're looking at their Facebook. You're like, oh, they're way gone. But Jesus says, go home. Why? It's like he knows that you have influence with people. They love you. But you're called, don't forget that your difference making, that your ability to make a difference starts with your home. Some of us need to go home today and we just need to gather our kids and we just need to pray. Be a missionary to your house. That's a word for me right there. Be a missionary to your house. Your kids need you. Your family needs you. Your aunt, your uncle, they need you. And God wants you to strengthen your home and he wants to start by strengthening you. Proverbs 3:27 says this, never walk away from someone who deserves help. Your hand is God's hand for that person. That's good. Never tell your neighbors to wait till tomorrow if you can help them today. Number two, as the band comes up, we're called to make a difference beyond our world. In other words, there are people that aren't like you. There are prisoners right now in the correctional facility that I want to help them. What if we had a ministry that went into prisons, like a God behind bars? What if you started a God behind bars ministry? People tell me all the time, you guys should do that. I'm like, you should do it. They're like, really? I'm like, yeah, you could be the leader of that group. They're like, okay. Sometimes they say, well, I just thought you should do it. But guess what? If you want to start an interest group and you want to do that, glory be to God. There are people that aren't like me that I want to know. There are people that aren't like you that God's saying, you need to go to them and make a difference in their world. You want to have a stronger walk with God? Start loving people that aren't like you. Start loving people that you don't agree with their worldview, but man, because they're born in the image of God, we're called to love them. I don't care what they believe, what they don't believe. People say, you know, I can't believe those people. I'm like, hey, we are those people to somebody. Let's love them anyways. We are called to be the body of Christ. It's our job to love a lost and dying broken world. We are the hope of the world. Guess what? The local church is the hope of the world. It's plan A. There is no plan B. This is God's plan for our world. And I believe that with all my heart, so much so that we gave everything so we could plant a church. And man, God is making a difference in this world. And he wants to use you to continue to be a part of that. I'm from Bakersfield, California. Any Bakersfield people? Love you, Mom. You know, there was a church in Bakersfield, still there, planted about 80 years ago. And there was a season of their ministry that back in the early 2000s, mid-2000s, that they decided, you know what, we're going to do small groups. It's like a very fashionable thing in church world, like, we're going to do small groups. It was kind of a trend. But what I remember about that season was, I was far from God. And there was a guy that I barely knew, a man in his 40s, that felt like the Lord wanted him to strengthen some young men. So you know what he did? He heeded the call, and he started getting about five guys in his living room every Wednesday night, and they started praying. They just opened the Bible, and then they pray for people that were lost. And every Wednesday, they would pray. For about 6 months, I had no idea that I was on a prayer wall, and this group of five, six guys were praying for me by name, Adam Magana. Lord, we pray. I was so hurt. I was broken. I was into some stupid stuff. My parents had gone through their stuff and they had a divorce and I was kind of left to be like a latchkey kid for a few years and I got into all sorts of latchkey trouble. But God knew where I was. And God had put on a vision on a pastor's heart to start small groups. And for 6 months, they prayed, and in the summer of 2004, my buddy had the courage to come over to my house and say, hey, man, I've been thinking about you. Do you want to go hang out? And I said, yeah, let's hang out. And over the next 4 months, he just loved me. He went into my world, guys. He connected with me. He laid down his stuff so that he could meet me where I was. He was literally being the hands and feet of Jesus when I needed it most. I love what Galatians 6 says. He says, stoop down and reach out to those
who are oppressed. In other words, if you have strength, help those that don't have strength. If you're strong, why don't you give some of your strength to someone that's weak? In other words, use what you got to make a difference for somebody else. And in that moment, someone reached down to me and helped me and met me where I was. And he goes this, he says, share their burdens. In other words, if it's heavy, it's like, is that heavy? Yeah, bro, let me help you. Not like, oh, I got a Bible, I'm cool. No, like, I got a Bible. Here, you have one. I'll go get another one. Like, I got some food. You need some food? I got a little money. You need some? Like, I just think if we live like that, like, we're going to bring glory to God. He says, help others share their burdens and so complete Christ's law. What's Christ's law? It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, to love your neighbor as yourself. Last but not least, God wants us to make a difference in the whole world. Maybe you're like, Pastor Adam, really? The whole world? You don't realize this, but we've been giving to international missions for a while now, and we just recently partnered with One Hope Ministries. One Hope's vision is every child, everywhere, gets the word of God. No matter where you're at, no matter the furthest reached people group, we give every single month now so that we can take the gospel to where it's not. I asked the guy, I said, where is the biggest need? He said, it's in the 1040 window. It's an area kind of near Pakistan. It's like this latitude, longitude, 1040. And I said, I want to give to that. I want to take the gospel where it's not. I want to help reach kids that will never hear about Jesus. And I want to give them hope to let them know there's a God in heaven that loves them, has a plan for them, has a purpose for them, that wants them to know him, wants them to discover purpose, and ultimately wants to make a difference through their lives. I want to give to that. So every time you give to Active, you're now giving to the ends of the earth so that we can make a difference in the whole wide world. And let me tell you something, God's not done yet. We're just getting started. We'll be 3 years old on September 17th. We're gonna have a huge party at the end of the month, maybe in 3 weeks from now, I'm not quite sure yet, but stay tuned. But can I tell you something? God's not done with you. He wants to strengthen you today. He wants to make you stronger. That he wants you to impact people that you don't even know yet. He wants you to begin praying for that friend. Next week, I want to see some of these seats filled up because you just said, you know what? I'll go after the one. I'll start thinking about that guy I can pray for, that girl. And I want us to invest in people. And over the next 4 weeks, I want to see us use our time, our talent, our treasure to be the hands and feet of Jesus to make a difference in our community, as we work together with God.